Good evening and welcome to Plan Lehigh Valley, the WDIY program presented along with our partners from the Lehigh Valley Planning Commission. I want to welcome our co-hosts, Becky Bradley, the Executive Director of the Planning Commission, and Matt Assad, its Managing Editor. Hello.
Hello.
Good evening.
So tonight's show will be a bit of a mixed bag, where we'll talk about the current Climate Action Plan program, the role that the Greater Lehigh Valley Chamber of Commerce plays in helping to protect our environment, and then we're going to end on a little bit of a personal note with one of our key partners. Our guests this evening are Susan Myrov and Ray Minarovic. Susan arrived at the LVPC in 2023 with more than 30 years of dedication to protecting our environment. She's one of the state's leading experts in watershed planning and protection. Susan spent 10 years as Watershed's Program Director for the Pennsylvania Environmental Council, and before that was a senior planner for the Heritage Conservancy. At the Planning Commission, she's directing the region's Greater Lehigh Valley Comprehensive Climate Action Plan and its first ever Global Watershed Management Plan, along with a long list of other duties aimed at protecting the region's environment. Ray Minarovic is a managing partner at RMS Environmental with more than 28 years of experience in site assessment, investigation, remediation, and compliance monitoring throughout the Mid-Atlantic and Midwest regions. He has worked closely with the Pennsylvania and New Jersey Departments of Environmental Protection, including projects within New Jersey's Site Remediation Program, Underground Storage Tank Program, and Industrial Site Remediation Act. Ray is a licensed site remediation professional in New Jersey and licensed professional geologist in Pennsylvania. He is currently the chair of the Greater Lehigh Valley Chamber's Energy and Environment Committee. So welcome to both of you. Matt, will you give us an overview of today's show?
Sure. I think you had it right when you mentioned it's kind of a mixed bag, but it's a mixed bag of related items. Susan is coming down the home stretch of developing a climate action plan for the Lehigh Valley. Pretty exciting, and we're doing it with a couple of our neighbors, Carbon County and Warren County, New Jersey. So it's the Greater Lehigh Valley. We're also going to talk about our longstanding relationship with the Greater Lehigh Valley Chamber of Commerce. I think people get the sort of inherent impression that the business community is not concerned about the environment, but that is not true. It actually has a vested interest in protecting our environment, and Ray's going to tell us why it is good business. And then we're going to talk a little bit about one of those health issues that affects a lot of so many families, but maybe goes unnoticed in the community. And in general, health and environment really inherently go together. They're linked.
Okay, great. So let's get into it. Susan, we'll start with you. What is the Climate Action Plan and what are its goals?
So climate action plans are developed to provide strategies that, when implemented, can help reduce the levels of greenhouse gas emissions and other harmful air pollutants entering our atmosphere. So by way of sort of background, greenhouse gases actually naturally occur in our environment and help regulate temperature. Something like a blanket analogy would be good. However, when we have too much of the greenhouse gases in our atmosphere, it can trap heat and increase the atmospheric temperature. And that has a whole bunch of impacts related to increased storms and extremes in our weather. So this plan will help us through our plan with strategies to help reduce some of those emissions. So it includes goals and policies and actions related to 7 emission sectors within our region. These include residential and commercial, transportation, industrial, agriculture, and land use, solid waste, and water and wastewater. So it's a plan that's very comprehensive, and we have tailored it to the strategies and goals and policies for our region. And as Matt had indicated, the region includes Lehigh and Northampton counties, as well as Carbon County to our west in Pennsylvania and Warren County, New Jersey to our east.
Okay, so how would this affect the emissions released in the Lehigh Valley?
So measures selected in this plan, again, are tied to emission sources. So for example, we know that emissions from our commercial and residential sectors are primarily due to the use of fossil fuels to, say, heat and cool our buildings. So one of our actions is actually to promote more energy efficient appliances and heating and ventilation systems, and also targeting programs that help just make our homes and our businesses more energy efficient. So we have data related to the numbers of homes and businesses in the Greater Lehigh Valley and the types of heating sources that they use. So we can then estimate emission reductions based on various scenarios and estimate as well cost savings for these energy efficient improvements. For the transportation sector, which is one of our largest sources of emissions, we know that actions that reduce the time that people spend traveling in their gas or diesel fueled cars or trucks can really significantly impact regional emissions. So measures designed to increase access to transit and non-motorized trails, reducing traffic congestion, as well as promotion of alternative fueled vehicles, such as electric vehicles, and the infrastructure that goes along with those are really effective in reducing carbon emissions in our region.
Okay, so Becky, can you talk about the benefits of this project? This goes well beyond carbon reduction, right?
Yeah, absolutely it does. And I think that's one of the cool things about the area of climate action and climate change management is that it supports everything from making sure that we have solid emergency management, that we're planning to remove or avoid hazards when we have serious rainfalls or other events like sinkholes. And so there's a whole area of practicality, or actually climate action in general is highly practical. And I think it gets a kind of a bad rap in some areas for not being that, but it actually very much is. Who doesn't want to be able to breathe easy, right? Mm-hmm. Who doesn't want to be able to live in an area where they're not seeing significant flooding and where they don't see, mudslides and other things occurring, right? Like that stuff makes national news. And so you have to manage the intersection between the environment, the natural environment and the built environment. But it translates to so many other things, especially our transportation sector. And I think this is where our work isn't just about policy. Policy is absolutely critical, right? Because if you don't have a plan that has policy, what direction are you going to go? So that's critical. And that's the foundational stuff Susan and her team have been working on in conjunction with the transportation section, even community regional planning, our data and analytics folks. But when it comes to transportation, we actually, because we're the federally designated Metropolitan Planning Organization, have an investment portfolio for the transportation system. And so the greatest amount of public right-of-way, like publicly owned lands, is right along our highway networks. It's the roadway itself, but then it's all of those scrubby little trees and grasses and other things on the sides of our roads and in some cases in the median. So what if we transform those into a high-performing, naturalized environment that reduced stormwater runoff, helped sequester carbon so we would have cleaner air to breathe, so the Lehigh Valley looked nicer? And I want to pause on that because that's not a ridiculous notion, nor is it frivolous. So communities, businesses are judged by how they look. Businesses decide where they're going to locate based on the perception of place. Tourists decide whether they're going to come here and spend money based on our asset classes, and that includes how we look and how we function. But if we green up those roadways, we can actually increase the investment in our economy. And I think those are very important in addition to the air quality benefits. Also, you can reduce the amount of time, emissions, and other things associated with mowing, including reducing staffing costs and other things. So there's so many co-benefits to climate action and the work that we're doing.
Okay. Now, this isn't the first LVPC plan that addresses climate change, right?
No, of course it isn't. In fact, we have a long history of it. I would say that it really has its root in the 1960s when we were founded and we started working on our first regional plan in 1961. That document was completed in 1963. all across the nation, there was this movement towards designing with nature and to having healthier, more livable places. We just didn't necessarily call it those things back then. But really some of the root of our mobility strategy, even in the Lehigh Valley around supporting transit, alternate forms of getting around are sort of rooted in that idea that we now call this global portfolio of climate action. So it really is good comprehensive planning, but a focused component of that that ties in other aspects that need detail, like air quality. So we had a climate and energy element in 2014, worked with both counties on their parks, rec, and open space plans, which are called livable landscapes. We did a historic lands assessment for Lehigh County in 2017, developed an active transportation plan for walking, biking, last few feet to transit in 2020. And then, of course, our first joint regional plan since the 1963 plan that combined our transportation investments with all of those other parts that form a balanced and great community. Future LV, the regional plan, was published in 2019, and then we updated it in 2023. So a lot going on, continued commitment, and as things are done, you know, we keep revising those strategies. Susan's working on some cool stuff with clean water, which is related to try to help ensure that we have quality drinking water and reduce runoff. So there's so much going on, the past and the continued commitment into the present and the future.
Right, right. Okay. So, Ray, why does the Lehigh Valley Chamber of Commerce partner with the LVPC on environmental issues? Why does it even have an Energy and Environment Committee?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me today. The Chamber partners with the Lehigh Valley Planning Commission because we have similar goals and objectives when it comes to helping the businesses in Lehigh Valley. And, you know, we greatly value their input in our decision-making process regarding energy and environmental issues facing the Valley. And in fact, Susan actually sits on our Energy and Environment Committee, and we always welcome her input at our monthly meetings. There's a long history of partnership with the Lehigh Valley Planning Commission, and we enjoy working with them on key issues that affect the Valley.
And what are some of the issues the Chamber is working on?
There's many issues we work on, but right now, some of the ones that are in the forefront currently affecting the Valley are PFAS, or perfluoroalkyl substances, also known as forever chemicals, energy and grid issues. And the newest issue is the passing of the executive order by the current administration to reduce funding for several energy and environment programs. The PFAS issue is important because any company in the area that uses, you know, water in their manufacturing process or their activities have to meet certain levels in their water, and PFAS is one of the new standards that they have to meet. Also for wastewater and stormwater issues, the Lehigh Valley has to meet certain values there when they, you know, when that water goes to the, you get cleaned before it's, you know, passed out again to the community. There are standards that they have to meet. So that's a big issue right now. Energy and grid issues are a big one. Everyone's talking about, you know, concerns about these large computer stations that are being installed and the, you know, how are electric vehicles and the charging stations are going to affect the grid, and people are concerned about the grid. So that's something, you know, people are talking about the ailing issues with the grid system within Pennsylvania and, you know, nationwide actually. So that's something that we are concerned about and we talk about. And that's intertwined also, you know, we always talk about sustainable types of energy such as solar and wind. And so those are all kind of intertwined. So we discuss those issues and help the business community better understand what might be a good decision for them when it comes down to their energy needs and natural resources. And then the current funding reductions, some of those affected, there's could be potential lost opportunities within the Inflation Reduction Act for municipal authorities to take advantage of tax credits for green energy products. There's general uncertainty about the availability of federal grant funding for key water sewer investments authorized under the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act. So all of that affects the business community. And then further, there's impacts of the USDA funding freeze and staffing terminations on PA agriculture. So recent funding freezes and additional executive actions have widespread impacts on farmers, conservation, delivery, and our local economy. So these are something that we'd like to keep our eyes on and keep the business and the agriculture committee updated on.
Wow, that's a lot.
You talk to Ray for like 2 or 3 minutes and you realize just how intertwined environment is with our economy.
Yeah.
And how intertwined it is with, you know, the efficient running of businesses, because it's not just about the environment. It's not just about, you know, clean air and water. It's really, you know, it's all sort of intertwined and it's all connected. And there's a puzzle to put together. And that's kind of what we're trying to do here.
And I have to ask about solar energy as well, because I've been seeing some headlines around that and that it's a big industry in Pennsylvania.
Yes. Solar is a huge industry in Pennsylvania. It's something that we discuss all the time as far as, you know, the sustainability of it. And the obviously, you know, it's very clean energy. And we have, you know, we provide a lot of information to local businesses, large and small, regarding, you know, they can come to us if they have any issues on if solar is a good, you know, fit for them. And there's this big, you know, debate about solar and the energy grid and how it affects the energy grid. And in talking to some of our other partners on the chamber, such as PPL Electric and some of the other electric providers in the area, this is something that they're working on and that they have a handle on. And, you know, not something that people should be, I don't think, as concerned about, as it's not going to have a negative effect on the grid as people expect, because they're always working in the background. You know, they work years ahead on these things, and hopefully, you know, they'll be able to, you know, whatever changes that need to be made to the grid, you know, in time for so that solar and our, you know, other energies can be all work together. We as a chamber, we like to say that, you know, we don't always look at solar. We want a comprehensive energy strategy that looks at all types of energies in the area, not just solar. But solar obviously is something that's big in the media and the forefront right now in Lehigh Valley.
Right. So, Becky, has the chamber always worked with the Planning Commission? And how far back does that partnership go?
Well, as long as I know. At least 20 years. And there's a reason for that. And I think there's something that people should understand about the Greater Lehigh Valley Chamber of Commerce. They sure represent business interests and look at things through a business lens, but they are very open-minded and really do care about the community's development just as much as its economic development. And it balances those things. And that's what makes them such a great partner for us. We participate, obviously, in the Environment Committee, because the issues that affect the business community affect, you know, people's incomes, whether they're able to afford a home, positions on various things can affect what we may plan for or not plan for in the region. We've even done joint advocacy efforts, especially on transportation funding. But, you know, the chamber is an important partner for us, because it assembles the business community in one location. The great thing about our chamber here in the Lehigh Valley is the fact that it has like multiple working groups, this environmental one, the transportation one, there's a public policy committee, there's a healthcare committee. There's so many different areas of the chamber. So if there's a specific business interest in that subject, you can find a place to have those conversations and what business impacts are. And we're in charge of looking at things globally at the Lehigh Valley Planning Commission. So we have to balance all the interests. So it's not only the interests of individuals and local governments, it's also the interests of the nonprofit sector and the private sector. And so we can do that efficiently and, you know, with certainty through our partnership with the Greater Lehigh Valley Chamber of Commerce.
If I can just quickly build on that as well as a member of the Energy and Environment Committee, it's really, really helpful to hear the perspectives of our community and the members of that committee when we have these issues that come up. And we really get for me, it's very educational to understand their points of view And that helps us with our work that we do here, as Becky mentioned, by looking at these more higher level and global issues. So it's been really very helpful to be part of that committee and participate.
Yeah, I think one of the things that's helpful, Ray just said, you know, talking about the solar issues, is he was talking about, you know, effects on the grid. And that's so important for us to understand, exactly, because mm-hmm. we have to review plans for new substations and other things. Two, it allows us to bring perspectives to the table that we hear from local governments. It's always dialogue and partnerships are always, you know, a two-way street. For example, solar is a real flashpoint issue with many of our local governments, especially the rural governments and the rural communities, because they're concerned, and rightfully so, that, you know, giant utility scale solar fields would take significant acreage out of active farming. And what would be the net effect on the rural areas and the farmland preservation strategies and the rural economy that a lot of people like to write off or not recognize the fact that there is a very strong agricultural economy here. It actually supports our food and beverage manufacturing sector. And there's a strong interrelationship between agriculture and our community. And so, you know, when you have new land uses come in, it could be anything from a lot of new housing development, which, you know, that's what we saw from the 1970s through the early 2000s during the housing downturn, tons and tons and tons of housing development eating up agricultural lands. Then it changed to a mix of housing and industrial, and then some other medical facilities and other commercial facilities as we started to create edge communities throughout the region, and the local governments decided and zoned to have those uses occur. Now there's newer uses. Ray mentioned data centers. There's, you know, Bitcoin mining operations. There's utility scale solar. And so all of these types of emerging, reimagining, brand new land uses happen. And being able to, for us to bring the perspective of our local governments to the table so the business community understands how we can continue to have that great balanced community like we were talking about earlier on. Perception and experience are everything to not only how we feel about where we live, work, and play, and where we invest, but where others want to engage with us as well. So it's that balance in everything, right? And it's that opportunity for us to coordinate across sectors to make our region even greater than it is.
Back to our carbon action plan, you know, we have our climate action plan. Agriculture is an important sector, but we're also looking at the value of preserved agricultural land because it sequesters carbon. And the more we preserve those areas, it's better for our environment and helps us with our climate action goals.
All right. So we have less than 5 minutes here in the program. And Matt, you had talked about discussing something on a more personal note. So I'm going to turn it over to you to take it away.
So yes, I mean, as we've talked here for, you know, most of the show, environment is so closely related to health. I mean, the reason we're also focused on air and water is because it's directly related to the health of our people and our quality of life in general. You know, poor environment conditions lead to poor health. So the partner we're talking about is actually on the show today with us. Ray has dedicated his career to protecting our environment, and we're hoping he's willing to talk a little bit about the crisis he's been facing. He has been in kidney failure for quite some time. And while it's not directly related to our environment, environmental conditions certainly exacerbate his situation. So, Ray, would you be willing to talk a little bit about what you've been facing?
Yeah, thank you very much. Like I said, I appreciate you having me today. And, you know, I've been, for the past, I think, 15 years, I've had a kidney disease. And since late 2024, early 2025, I was diagnosed with kidney failure. And I'm currently on dialysis. I do it at home every day. And I've started that in January 2023. You know, it's very, this has been a life-changing experience for me. Nothing's affected my life as much as kidney failure, both from an emotional and a physical standpoint. Dialysis is very challenging. It's a 10-hour day, 365-day-a-year process. It's draining, painful, and it's very time consuming. And I'm currently on a waiting list for a donor. I guess some stats here. In 2023, 90,000 people were on a waiting list for a kidney, and about 28,000 transplants were performed that year. There's many people who have kidney disease aren't even on the list. But as far as my situation goes, doctors tell me that the best situation for me is to get a living donor. It's the best way I'll have for living the longest, since I'm fairly young, 51. It's a good chance I have of having a long life and getting the best kidney is from a living donor. And the best way to do that is just to get the word out. You know, the more people know your situation, the more, you know, you have a chance of someone that would be willing to donate. There's a website. I think, I don't know if you're going to be sharing that.
Yes.
Is that Matt? I'm going to share that on here. And then, you know, we have shirts we've had out. We have flyers. We've just, you know, talking to people daily. And next week I'm getting my truck lettered with information that I need a living donor. So really it's all about just getting the word out. And, you know, I appreciate everyone on here giving me the chance to talk about the disease that affects so many people. It's really unbelievable how many people I've become to realize have kidney failure and are in need of a transplant. And, you know, living donors are the best way to do that. And the best way to get a living donor is just getting the word out. So thank you very much for, you know, letting me talk about this.
Yeah.
So they will share the website name, but why don't you go ahead and tell us what it is?
Yes.
Some folks.
It's the Great Social, you know, it's www, the Great Social Experiment Temple, and at Raymond Minerovic. And I guess you'll be sharing it on your website. And really it's just a place where you can go and read about my story. And then there's a place for people to obviously click and fill out a form if they'd like to donate. So once again, that's thegreatsocialexperiment.net/temple/Raymond-Minerovic. If they're interested in donating or any more information on my story and anything like that.
Wonderful. Well, thank you for sharing that. And we hope that you will get some more interest on your website. We will put the link up on the webpage on wdiy.org. And again, I just Googled the Great Social Experiment and typed in Raymond's name, R-A-Y-M-O-N-D, and his last name, M-I-N-A-R-O-V-I-C. And I found the page quite easily. So please take a look at that. I want to thank Becky, Matt, Susan, and Ray for your time this evening. If you'd like to listen to this program again, you can go to our website or the WDIY app or your favorite podcast platform. I'm your host, Margaret McConnell. You've been listening to Plan LV on WDIY 88.1 FM. Have a great night.